Welcome, Maulana Ashraf Dokra, to the program this morning. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
How are you this Monday morning?
Alhamdulillah, spend it, Maulana, very, very well, Maulana.
Well, before we get to the book review, we're going to take your comment on our interactive question for this morning. And we've been discussing the fact that many people are noticing that most kids, especially teenagers, are passing the holidays with their phones constantly in their hands, either they're on WhatsApp or Instagram. Whether they're at home or the family, or in the shopping mall, they say the phone seems to be more interesting now. How do we go about regulating this behavior? And if we don't do that, what are the possible consequences for the future?
Yes, Maulana, I think this is a very, very serious matter. We should give it really a lot of thought. Firstly, Maulana, I think that we know that life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that that life imitates life. And when children see parents preparing to sacrifice important time that they should be spending with their families in front of their phones and taking calls during meal times, and even when they see that my father, when he's even with his best friends, is not prepared to leave his phone or not prepared to stop checking his WhatsApp, then children are going to do exactly that. We can't expect anything else from them. If those are the values that we have, then we have to realize that that is definitely going to brush off onto our kids. Secondly, Maulana, I think that what we have to do is simply understand that there is a time for everything in life. I don't think that when a child is growing up, that is the time for cell phones and gadgets. In my own experience, I've seen that the kids who come and play with my kids, some of them who are used to that type of lifestyle, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is just a blessing of Allah that I'm mentioning this, that when they are faced even and put in front of a Lego set, let's say, they just don't know where to start. They don't know where to begin, Maulana, because they are so used to playing with gadgets and having that sort of response from the gadget rather than imagining something themselves and working out something in their minds about the castle they want to build or a boat that they want to shape from those Lego sets. So I think parents have a responsibility that from a young age, they need to introduce their children to activities and types of games at home that build other faculties that are creative. People should be encouraged to attend and learn skills such as art. Girls should be taught about these wonderful type of things that you can learn nowadays, knitting and smocking and all sorts of embroidery work and all of that. That really opens up the opportunities for them and introduces them to alternatives that really, once they start doing it, they find these things to be really worthwhile and in fact rewarding. And what we need to do is also to encourage them to do that. Actively as parents, we need to make sure that we go out, buy the material that is required, introduce them to people who know these skills and were able to teach them to our kids. So there's a lot out there, Maulana. If we just pay attention, we cannot keep on telling them, don't use the phone, don't do this, when we as parents don't provide some sort of alternative for them that is interesting, that is exciting. Then, Maulana, obviously, you know, you would have expected it that we're going to say that you need to read. And children will read because they are read to. This is in our own experience, when you speak to people who want to encourage reading with their kids and whose kids are good readers, you find out that at their homes, the parents actually took out time every day to sit with the books and read to them. And this is unfortunately very, very, very neglected among our people. The mother, the father needs to spend some time before Isha, before putting them to bed, and make sure that they're able to read. Maulana, another thing that comes to mind straight away is that often you will find that the use of cell phones and the use of these gadgets are accompanied with a lifestyle that is not regulated very well. So it's an easy way for the parent to allow the child to be sitting with his gadget, put his head in the gadget, because you don't have to do anything with the child. I mean, that's it. The child is in the world there. So if you as a parent are an active participant in the parenting process, you would regulate the child's life. In other words, there's a time for meals, and there's a time for bed, and there's a time for play, and there's a time for everything. And so when a child lives a regulated type of life, that he knows that, look, after I'm going to pray my Isha, after that it's to bed. Even if it means getting comfortably in the bed with a book, my mother is going to read to me, my father is going to read to me, and that is how we're going to spend the last few hours of our life. Then those two things don't really go well, too well together. And we have to, as parents, decide what is in the best interest of our children. If a cousin is living a life where they are very happy to, and their parents are very happy to give their kids their gadgets, and that is not necessarily the right life for our kid. You have to have an ideal for your child, and you have to have an ideal as a parent of how you want to bring up your child. And at some point, you have to draw the line for regarding this peer pressure and what have you. And there will be times where they meet up with their friends and they're going to sit with their gadgets and they're going to talk about the different apps that they have and all of that. But As a parent, I think the overriding and the overarching philosophy and the idea should be there that, look, these are things that are harmful to the children at this stage of the development. There's no doubt about it. And as soon as we start making too many compromises, I think that is where things really start going wiry and the children don't know exactly what is expected from them. So, Malay, these are some of the ideas that I have.
Yes.
And I think we need to be conscious about it, you know, all the time conscious about it and conscious about the potential that this has for causing a lot of problems in the development of the children, Malay.
One of the things that you did outline reading books. Now, this morning we're reviewing the book, The Khulasa, by Sheikh Abdul Hay Al-Kattani. Tell us more about this book, Hamula.
And I think at the same time, Malana, before we go there, Malana, we need to ask ourselves as parents, do I know, if I've got three kids, do I know what each of my children are reading?
Hmm.
Do I know exactly? Have I bothered to find out? And if they finished one book in the series, have I bought the next book for them? If they show an interest in a certain thing, if they're showing an interest in biographies, pious people, have I exposed them to the next important biography? If they're interested in Sira, or what is it that I've done to encourage the reading, Marana? So these are the type of questions that we need to ask ourselves as parents. And really, we can. And it can be a really not only a burdensome or a tiresome type of task or something that we always nagging the kids about, but we can find it to be at the end of the day something that is enjoyable and really something that the entire family can be part about. You can start discussing the books that everybody's reading, ask the appropriate questions as a parent. What did you find interesting in the book? Would you like to buy the next book? If you buy your next book, what would it be? All of that, you see. So
yes.
I think, Malana, these are the questions we need to get to. Okay, let's get to our book, Malana. The Khulasa. The Khulasa is, as the title suggests, a summary. And it is a summary of one of the most famous books that we are all very, very au fait with, and that is the Shamail of Imam Tirmizi, also known as Shamail al-Muhammadiyya. And what this book then does is presents some of the most salient elements of Imam Tirmizi's book in the form of a summary and that is really very accessible to the new generation of Muslims, and it allows us to then be familiar with this very important branch of knowledge, the details regarding the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And really, when we do so, Malana, what happens is our devotion to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam increases. The knowledge of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed personage becomes very, very real for us. and the lover of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true muhib, the true person who is the person who loves the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is really transported into a situation where he finds himself very close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what we as Muslims need to do. There can be no greater solace for us in these times and these turbulent times sometimes than really knowing about the seerah, the surah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Books that are dedicated to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's characteristics, his physical description, give the true lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a peace of mind and a solace that is not found in any other type of literature. And people throughout the ages have put pen to paper in this regard, just trying to capture this aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, the physical description of Rasulullah, the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this book, the original title is The Munyatu Sa'il, is written by a great hadith master of recent times, Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Hay ibn Abdul Kabir al-Kattani. And he and his entire family, the Kattani family, were well known for their scholarship. They are Moroccan hadith scholars. And they he then used to have this Shama'il al-Tirmizi recited to him by students, and then he now summarized this at some point in his life, and the book became very, very popular, this Munyatu Sa'il, and is now translated. The current translation is very, very well done, translated by the expert translator, really, Aisha Buley, and then edited and annotated by Maulana Javed Iqbal. And in his edition, Maulana Iqbal has removed some of the additional comments of Sheikh Al-Kattani and has elaborated on some of the interpretations that Al-Kattani has provided in his text or in his footnotes, and provided alternative or parallel type of notices regarding the Shama'il of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those hadith that have been omitted from the Munya and the editor thought were important to the flow of the text and also to get a better understanding of the original text, the editor has included here also. And some of the original chapter headings that were found in Al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya and not found then in Al-Kattani's work have also been added. And there are brief footnotes that one finds in the text itself. And also, the famous, Maulana, the hadith that we all know very well, the lengthy hadith of Zar, of the 11 ladies, that has been added here under the chapter of the night talk of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hadith numbers have also been introduced to refer to the original text. So all in all, there's a lot of work that has been done onto the book of Al-Kattani, and I think it has added value to this to this khulasa now in its original from the original to the translation now. And this is perhaps something that other translators can consider. We often have translation houses here in South Africa as well that translated original text but add very little value to the original. And this book really shows us how a great deal of value can actually be added with the correct editorial team and the correct publisher, I think. Here once again, the book has been published by Turas Publishing, and we have to thank Brother Yahya Bata and his team for another excellent work that is really very, very needed in these times. When people have become detached from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then books like these really serve an important purpose. They give a person a lifeline to allow to rekindle really the flame of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to inspire readers to emulate the blessed example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All in all, Mulana, I think an excellent publication from Turath Publishers, now available in South Africa, Mulana.
Well, you know, that's what you spoke about, adding to the book or enhancing the book somewhat. It's a bit of a double-edged sword, I suppose. You've got to get the permission of the author, perhaps. Or how do you go about doing that? You know, is it a suggestion? Some might think of it is that this, the author didn't cover it adequately. That's why you've got to add your two cents there. So I think it's something very delicate.
No, certainly, Molana. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think all translation is in a sense interpretation, and we have to allow that the liberty that we allow a translator to translate to actually also then add value to the book. There are some things like correct footnotes, you know, sometimes doing the job of takhrij and sourcing the correct hadith. And this can be done in such a way that really shows the contribution of the original book, and also shows the contribution of the translator separately or the editor separately, so that the reader is not confused by who has contributed what. But it's certainly something, and I feel strongly about that, you know, our translators need to look at. I mean, for example, in this book, there is a note that at the end of the chain or the sanad of Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Hayy Al-Qirtani. Now, the translator could have easily left it out, but by adding that, he has added so much more value to this that a scholar such as yourself will be able to say, let me find out a bit about how the Qirtani sanad for hadith runs. And you get so much more value out of it in that way. The simple things like adding biographies of the author, adding biographies of Sheikh Qirtaniyya, and also of Imam Abu Isa Tirmidhi, rahmatullahi alayhi, that is, it itself adds value to a book like this, you know, whereas perhaps the original didn't have that, the publishers and the editors have added that to the book, Mulana.
Jazakumullah khair for your time this morning. Always a pleasure to chatting to you,
Mulana. Before we go, the book sells for 60 rands, and we would be not doing our duty if we don't advertise the fact that Darul Ihsan has the book available on their website. One can easily order it via their website for a minimum amount of 60 rands, Mulana.
Jazakumullah khair for that, Mullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mullah Ashraf Dokrat with the weekly edition of the book review, and speaking about this fascinating book on the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and very suitable for this time of the year where we focus on the seerah.